If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny. Greetings in the divine light and love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Planetary Transfiguration. What role are you playing? What role are you playing in this planetary transfiguration? So let's begin by attuning to that part of you that is completely one with God, that is divine, innocent, whole, and in highest truth has never left the heart of God, but simply has extended as a stream of individualized consciousness, the divine superluminal programs of the higher God realms. That's your job. You bring the highest divine purity and truth from the realm in which you extend as that purity, into a world that has been conditioned by the lower ego mind and is lost in a very unpleasant dream of fear and separation, pain and suffering. And so you have come as an evangel of grace. Every single one of us is a living tributary, an evangel of divine grace. We are the divine hand of intercession, the divine hand that reaches down at this time through every single one of our human expressions to open a new way for us to live on this planet and to awaken even from the dream that we're living on this planet, because it is a dream. And when we awaken, we will laugh, realizing that like all dreams, we've been safely at home all the while. But meanwhile, many that do not know this are suffering. And so we have another role to play. We come forward as the communicators, as the healers, as those that offer a compassionate ear and helpful hands and a pure and selfless desire to simply be useful in helping wherever we are. So let's attune to that part of us that is often referred to as the soul and take a deep breath and ask that as much of that as possible could integrate now at this time, according to your highest rate and highest good. It's very easy to bring that higher energy in with the breath wedded with your intention to do so. So let's do that again. Take a deep breath.
And imagine that prolific energy, power, purity, and light irradiating every cell of your being as it touches into the atom of every single core essence of your being. See every cell brighten with that light. Feel the coursing of this divine light and life through every cell of your body. Bring it through all of the expressions of your mind, your emotions, your conscious and subconscious. Every part of your being, fill it with this divine light. And ask, if you would like, that anything that is not for your highest good at this time be flushed out with that light and transmuted through grace. See it just dissolve into that pure light and love of grace. Christ. Just allow it to go. And consecrate yourself, if you will, if you wish, if you choose to embody yourself as soul, to embody that purity, that divinity, that wisdom, that love, that tremendous empowerment that comes when we simply open to that which is greater. That's what we're here to do. Get out of the way. Let our limitation and our sense of a limited self be displaced by that which is absolutely miraculous in every way. And let's begin this evening with sort of a little game. I was playing with this the other day, and I had some rather interesting breakthroughs and revelations as I was doing it. To do the game, you're going to take the viewpoint of soul, which means you're going to look at your life from the balcony. And I don't know if there's anyone who's not aware that there are records that are kept of all of our shenanigans in time-space. It's not like a book where, you get check marks for good and whatever for evil. But it's actually an imprinting device in the Akasha. Akasha is a Sanskrit word which simply means the space or the air. And imprinted on that membrane of energy, Akashic membrane, is the record of everything that you said, that thought, done, all your relationships, all of your experiences. And I often tell people, this to give them encouragement in case they have lost their precious photos or mementos or things that have sentimental value. Sometimes in floods or the storms that we've had, people lose everything. And it causes them a lot of grief. But if you would remember that every single precious second of your life, everything is recorded in the Akashic, and that you can actually revisit these records when you have moved more fully into soul integration, you have access to these records and you can read them. And it's sort of like a home video, and it's funny and it's amusing, because when you're looking at it from the attitude of soul, there's no judgment. There's no condemnation. There's just delighting in life. and the myriad of expressions and experiences that life offers. And you get the gaming sense of the whole thing. You don't take yourself so seriously. And you learn not to mourn the temporary loss of anything. Nothing is lost to you. Every moment is preserved for your enjoyment, not for your condemnation, for your appreciation. Likewise, when someone steps from this room of visible expression into the next room of life, in which we aren't quite able to see yet, but we will, your loved one does not die, does not cease to be. And you will definitely be with your loved ones again. You cannot lose love. And so, you beloved brothers and sisters that have lost or seem to have lost precious things this year, I hope that these words encourage you somewhat. I hope they offer some comfort. Because life is eternal. Nothing ceases to exist that has ever been given life. And we're living an immortal life right now. The only difference is that you take with you reality and not illusion. Illusion, which are temporary states of consciousness, positioned in ignorance, are dissolved in worlds that have been misinterpreted as hell worlds or purgatorial worlds, but they're not that. They are the realms where the dross is consumed by the divine light. But you, as soul, are never destroyed. You are part and parcel of God, identical in essence with God. Not a God in the sky sitting on a throne somewhere, but that nameless and formless, all-encompassing light and love that is everyone and everything, everywhere, at all times, and individualizes out according to your devotion. It takes form to interact with you personally according to your devotion. Will come to you in that name, in that form, in that manner which is most dear to your heart. This is the absolute truth, devoid of the mythologies and the mood-making that the guesstimating that so often surrounds topics. So life is eternal. Love is eternal. You are living an eternal life now. And anything that shows up in your reality has negative in any way, regard it as a child coming to you to be cleaned up. And welcome that part just like you would, well, a bedraggled little mangy kitten that's mewing at your door, or a forlorn lost little puppy, or a little child that just needs to be cleaned up and given some dinner and rocked to sleep. Don't despise anything that comes to you, because they come to you like to the Christ. Christ is another name for the soul that you are, the only begotten of the Father, the uniquely begotten of the Father, the living Word of the Father that came into this world as flesh. But to irradiate the flesh with eternal light, and thus reveal the truth inherent in all matter, that matter is simply a densification of supernal light. And so the job of the soul in incarnation is to release that light. That's all. That's the transfiguration. Technically, transfiguration represents the third initiation that we spoke about last week when Jesus was on the mount and his raiment became white, dazzling white, and his whole being radiated with light. He was demonstrating symbolically the third initiation when the soul that you are completely occupies the human body, mind, complex. And from that point on, you're no longer ego-driven. You are soul-infused and soul-operated. This is an initiation that many of you listening are either undergoing, will undergo in this lifetime, or have undergone in the past, or are preparing to undergo it in the near future. I've often said that these seminars are for closet Christs. It's for those of you that are awakening beyond the body, beyond the drama of the karma and the mind and its emotional fluctuations, thoughts, and so forth. You're awakening to something greater. And that is the transfiguration that concomitantly is transfiguring the planet. Because the universal spirit uses the human instrument to operate through to bring about transformation and transfiguration. But it's done through the soul. Sometimes we call that the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what you call it, as long as you get some idea of what we're talking about here. There's many beliefs and many metaphors for what we're talking about. I try to keep it really simple and to use language that we pretty much have some idea of what we're dealing with. So as you go about your daily role play or enactment of whatever your character and your role is for this incarnation, because you're in that process of personal transfiguration, personal soul infusion and integration, you are part of the planetary transfiguration that is also in the same process. This planet Earth has a soul also. What is the soul of planet Earth? It is the planet Venus. That is the alter ego or the higher self or soul of the Earth. Now, Venus is already in its golden age. It's in its seventh round or seventh incarnation. We're only in our fourth. So the Earth is in the process of initiation also. The Earth is going through the second initiation, which, as we spoke of last week, was symbolized by Jesus when he entered the stream, the Jordan River, the stream of life, the stream of divine life, and was baptized by his cousin John and the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him. And he starting to prepare for the role that he had come to fulfill. So you are in that stream also. You also are in that period that followed the baptism of Jesus, where he went out into the wilderness to be tested. That's the planet today. That's the earthly karma drama. When you turn on CNN or you watch the news, that's the wilderness, metaphorically speaking, in which the Christ that you are is led by the Spirit to be tested. Can you remember you're the light and love of God, only operating temporarily through a human role play and a human character? Can you remember when the world offers you all of its stuff, promises you everything, if you will sell out to it, if you'll give over your life, your power, your everything to serve it? That's the hollow promise the world offers. Oh, get all these degrees, and then you can get a great job, and then you can make lots of money. Then you can have, you know, several cars and a big mansion. And somebody wonderful will marry you, and you'll live happily ever after. You know, that's the world speaking the temptations. But we're taught to put first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all things are added to us. But the funny thing is, when you put God, when you put soul, when you put that higher consecration first and foremost in your life, it so fills and fulfills you that you no longer have desire for anything the world offers. And then everything comes to you. You have the money, you have the this, you have the that, you have whatever. But for most of us, we will say pass. Everything that we have has a price in order to maintain it. I'd rather live simply and set my focus and my energy and my attention where I can serve the greatest number for the greatest good. And that's the attitude of the soul. So I said we were going to play a little game, and then I kind of segued off into something else. But speaking about the records, we need to get above our life to see clearly. You can never see clearly from the lower levels. It's only when you're in that objective balcony position, so to speak, that you can see things clearly, because you get above the event horizon, the timeline, and the karmic field. And that's why we meditate. That's why we do soul transcendence, so we can get above these things. So the game I thought we might like to play, and you can play this again and again on your own after we go off the air, but take your life as it is now from the very, very beginning, and see it as a home video. And I want you to rewind it back to the very beginning. You can take it back as far as you want. You can take it back to the night of your conception, or the day or the moment of your conception, if you like, when your body was being brought together by the ovum and the sperm. But after you bring it back to the point, whatever point that is for you, maybe it's just this year. Maybe it's just your job history. Maybe it's just your spiritual history. What I'm saying is that you can play with this home video library that you have, and you can rewind it and review it anytime you want. But after you rewound it to where you want to start the process, I want you to forward it slowly, frame by frame, but fast enough that you can get a sense of the movement of your life as you've done the various things in your life. Kind of like those camera things we see where you see people moving quickly, quickly, like little ants, all over the place, and going in, to and fro in their daily activities. So let each scene flash by and just get a sense of it as you look at this video. And progress it through your infancy, childhood, schooling, graduations, adulthood, careers, jobs, relationships, living locations, travels, the challenges you've passed through, your successes and failures, your spiritual quests and practices, maybe the many teachers you studied with, all the way up to the present moment. Look at all that scurrying here and there and all the laughter and tears, the heart throbs and the heartaches, the expectations and the disappointments, all of your ups and downs, your ins and outs. And now, after you've done that, and of course you're going to need to take some time to really do this, pause the video and get an overall impression of the role that you've been playing in life and the type of character that you are portraying. You know, if you were a casting director, and you actually are the casting director of your life as a soul, how would you define your character and role in the drama? So this is your film biography. It's one of your home videos on the Akashic Records. And you are the star. So what title would you put up on the marquee? And now, review your life from this vantage point, which we would call the viewpoint of soul awareness. But view it in terms of one, just one, of the innumerable characters and roles that you've enacted on the stage of life. And yet, be aware that this lifetime is the most important life you have ever lived, because you're here now. And you're in process of awakening beyond this third dimensional drama. This is the life in which you are awakening and becoming a conscious participant and a proactive force in your own transfiguration, as well as serving as an agent of planetary transfiguration. So bottom line, we are here as agencies of transfiguration with the purpose of spiritualizing matter, beginning with our own body. We are returning matter to light, just as the whole involution was densifying light into matter. The process is reversed as we return from matter to light. So the soul has some qualities that very much define its nature. And regardless of how it finds expression in your life, there's going to be a certain flavor of the soul's qualities filtering through your talent, your background, your natural inclination, which is called Swadharma in Sanskrit. That would be your natural inclination as a spiritual being. You know, given all of that, the one quality that stands out in my mind and in my experience is inclusiveness. The soul is inclusive. Whenever you see the energy of exclusion or againstness or polarization or setting the self apart from whatever, you will know that the ego mind is operating through that. Because the soul is absolutely inclusive. It is pure, unconditioned, impersonal, divine love. It's also positive energy. By nature, it has an outgoing, joyous quality to it that may be expressed, depending on your personality, very quietly. You know, it could be not, you know, outwardly effusive, but there's like a joy that percolates behind the events that are taking place in the outer life. And also it's a sense of deep inner stillness. It's a very peaceful place that's centered, serene, empowered, creative, selfless. It's group-oriented and service-oriented. Very universal in its outlook. And it operates out of the field of Dharma, which would be the behavior of the spiritual self, rather than karma, which would be the momentums generated by conditioning. It's also harmless in nature. It has a quality of goodwill. And it sees the common chord in all life. And so it's a harmonizer. It finds that harmonic chord and flows in that. And it's characterized by cooperation rather than competition, which of course is of the ego. So whenever you see these qualities manifesting through yourself or another, you know that the soul is in the process of infusing and being integrated into the human personality. And I think a very perfect example of that infusion was the Master Jesus. He was a perfect example of being fully human and fully divine at the same time. And he portrayed that so we would get a sense of what that looks like so that we could use him as a role model. Unfortunately, he was made a one of and a one only, and we misunderstood the form for the principle or the Christ that he embodied. So just know that we're all the Son of God. The son and daughter, if you get into gender thing here. But we're not talking about gender because the soul has no gender. So we don't polarize to either. The soul is right in the middle, smack dab in the middle. And so that's the place that when you have walked through the testing of the pairs of opposites, you find yourself in the center. Not leaning one way or the other, but in that samadhi or equal-mindedness, as Sai Baba calls it. And Sai Baba has this to say about what we're here to do. I'm quoting him here. Learn this lesson of light and love. Move out, clasp, spread, expand. expand. Give up limits of mine and thine, his and theirs, caste and creed. Give it all up in one limitless flow of love. And one of the characteristics of the soul in that loving is non-interference. You know, the ego is a gossipy busybody. It's the one that's always pointing the finger of blame, or you should do this, or, you know, you're wrong, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's always busy minding other people's business. The soul, functioning as that impersonal divine love, leaves people alone to breathe their own air. So if you want to experience what's not the soul, just notice how uptight you feel in your belly when somebody criticizes you or tells you what you should do or disagrees with you, wants to pick a bone of contention, and you're not aligned really much with the soul at that moment. I mean, it's, you know, some days we are and some days we're not so much so, okay? But when we're in our ego, we're going to feel really uptight in our belly. Why? Because that's the emotional chakra. That's the solar plexus. That's why people have so many digestive problems. They're a seething cauldron in their belly of contentiousness and resistance to joining an agreement. The soul is very agreeable. It's in union and joining with everyone. The ego, not so much. Not at all, okay? So you can sense how you're feeling in your belly to see if you're reacting from the ego. And when you're in the soul, you feel like your chest is open. You feel like you can breathe. Your throat is open. Your mind is clear. And you're just present, here and now. And you're not in the past regretting. You're not in the future hoping. You're content. You're in the moment. And spirit or soul is always in the moment. If you're in the past, you're in the memory of past karma. If you're projecting into the future, you're dragging that karma from the past memory and impregnating your future with it, so that the future then becomes a repetition of your past karma. And that's unnecessary. So as you integrate your soul, you learn not to do that. You learn to stay here now and present and focused on what you're doing. You just stay with what you're doing. Pay attention. So paying attention and noticing is how you begin to cultivate and develop more of a conscious soul infusion experience for yourself. So again, you have some reference points in terms of feeling, how your body feels, and where your mind is focused, as to know whether you're operating out of the lower self, the personality ego, or you're operating through soul-directed action, which is intuitive. It's a sense of inner knowing. But I would say more than anything else, the soul is clarity. There's a tremendous, pristine knowingness and clarity that directs you then. When you're in the mind stuff, you're kind of confused. You go into dilemma. You don't know whether to do this or that. When you find yourself doing that pattern, you are in the mind. What resolves dilemma? Make a choice, any choice, but move. Dilemma keeps you in limbo. Once you make a choice, doesn't matter if it's a good choice or a bad choice, just make a choice, because you can always course correct if you're in movement. But if you're stuck in inertia, that creates another problem for you. So living in the transfigured state where your personality and your soul are operating as a single unit is the place of empowerment that people write books about. They make films about it. But they're approaching it from an egocentric position of manipulating the universal mind or programming a level of the lower consciousness to manifest. And what we're saying is that when you put this divine being that you are square dab in the middle of your life, in the middle of your decisions, in the middle of your motivations, and you operate from that platform, you don't even have to pray for anything anymore or ask for anything anymore, because the very universe will rearrange itself to accommodate your pictures of reality. And then you know what real manifestation is. And that's when you know when real grace is. And that's when you know real love. Not the love that shifts, that the ego is so fond of tempting you with, but that eternal love that we all look for until we realize we are the love that we have sought. In fact, Sai Baba said that the reason we love anything is not for the sake of the person or a thing that we love. It's because of the feeling that it generates within us, which is our own love. In other words, it's reflecting our own love. It's vibing us, vibrating us at that place where we feel love. But it's not the person. That's the strange thing about it. It's not the person that you love. It's the feeling that that person stirs within you. Otherwise, it's what we call it, hormones. Procreative urges running through the body. But it's not love. If it was love, you would never divorce that person. You would never stop loving that person. That love wouldn't turn to contempt and hatred and indifference and boredom, as it does in so many relationships. So what we're saying is that everything you seek outwardly in the world, in another person, in an experience, is yours. You just need to download it. Okay, it's like a software program. You have to download it. How do you download the soul? Well, first of all, know that you are that and you're not your body. Get that real clear. I am soul. I am indistinguishable from God. Just like a cup of seawater is indistinguishable from the rest of the ocean, except in size. So yeah, you're a small part of God, but God nevertheless. And then you begin to look at other people, not as their body, not as an object of your desire and self-fulfillment, but as souls doing the best they know how to be more of who they truly are authentically through their personality, life, and body. It may look like they're addicted to drugs or drinking or really going haywire. But we all awaken however we awaken, and sometimes we have to bottom out in our search and end up in a gutter somewhere so that any movement, we rise higher. So we can't judge another soul in the process of what they put their body through in their role play in order to awaken it. So do your dharma. What is your role? You know, when you look at your little figure, your little self running here and there, up, down, this and that. What are the contributions that you're making? And are you enacting the role of the soul? I mean, you can act as if. That's a very good technique that Paul Twitchell used to teach. To act from the end product. Act as if. Want to be a master? Okay, act like a master does. Act masterfully. Now, we've all heard, do what Jesus did, or do what Jesus does, or what would Jesus do? Like that. What would an ascended master do? What would an avatar do? What would Sai Baba do? What would Jesus do? What would I do if I were operating from my soul? What is the most loving thing I can do right now? That's a good way to get it going. What's the most loving thing I can do now? The ego is very knee-jerk reactive. It's very predictable. You know, it lashes out without thinking. So even if you buy yourself a little bit of time before you speak, before you do anything, you'll give yourself a moment to direct yourself in a soul-worthy way. Say, for example, somebody wants to pick a fight. They've said something nasty to you. Well, the ego would come right into agreement with the ego of this other person, and the fight would be on. But what if you just did whatever you had to do to bite your tongue and zip it, and you didn't say anything at all? Or you replied really softly and kindly. You know, it says in the Bible that a soft word turns away wrath. I've tried that. It's just amazing at how it works. You know, sometimes just saying softly, "Oh, honey, I understand. It's going to be all right." You know, if you said that to your spouse when they're just lost it, that would be such an act of soul-infused compassion. And another thing, you don't have to speak too much. Baba says we should really curtail our speech, that we waste energy with unnecessary talk. And that's why we don't have greater spiritual progress. All the energy is running out our mouth. So practice silence more and more. If you have something that's true and really uplifting and really beneficial to everyone concerned, express that, because we all need that. We all need encouragement. But you don't have to have an opinion for everything. And put an end to bad-mouthing, critiquing, criticizing, complaining, blaming. You know, all of that. Just use that as your spiritual practice. Just really watch your mouth. Because the soul is harmless. And that's in thought, word, and deed. But the challenge for most of us is not what we say outwardly. Most of us are pretty
aware not to speak negative words, but then we allow our thoughts to run rampant. So we need to watch our thoughts to replace bad thinking with the name of God. Om Sai Ram, or Om, or Anai Hu, or Soham, Om Namah Shivaya, Hari Rama, Hari Krishna, my Lord and my God. Whatever mantra or positive statement you can use, put that in your mind. Let that roll in the background of your thoughts. And the holy names of God will actually transmute negative thinking. It just disperses it and dissolves it. So replace bad thoughts and a monkey mind that's all over the place with the repetition silently in your mind of the mantra of your choice. And when you speak, speak softly, kindly, with respect, and sweetly. Because in truth, you're speaking to the Lord. Whoever you're addressing, you're speaking to the Lord. Now, those of you that are in an occupation where you have to make value statements or critique a situation, like if you're a judge or a trial lawyer or a policeman or someone, you're going to have to write down the facts. But you can state facts about a behavior without demonizing people or companies or situations. Like, yes, they do not pay a fair wage, or yes, they don't really take care of their employees. You know, you can make factual statements, but you don't have to demonize anyone, because everyone is a soul. And all of these companies and situations are groups of souls. And they're all learning lessons that they need to learn in order to transfigure and wed as a soul with their personality. They have to go, they're in the wilderness. They have to go through these things to learn how to transcend them. So have compassion with yourself. Have compassion with everyone. Not everyone is in the same soul class. We're all in the earth school, but we're in all different levels of learning. And even in yourself, you'll notice there are certain levels that you've mastered in your life and other areas where you're just clueless. So even in your own behavior, in your own integration, your own transfiguration, you're working with the Divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the transformative agent. You're working in cooperation with that to bring about a higher integration. So it's not about you fixing yourself or changing the furniture in the room of your consciousness. It's about allowing that which is greater to have complete roaming, ranging, wiggle room, whatever you want to call it, to get through you and into your life. You know, people say, thy will be done, Father. Not my will, but thine. That idea. Whatever, Lord, thy will be done. Take charge here, Holy Spirit. Give me new thoughts. Give me a forgiving, loving heart. I don't want these feelings that are coming up in me. Help me to make peace with that part of me that's worrying, that's scared, that's lost, that's lonely, that's depressed, that feels a real hatred with what that person said or did. That's where you call on that which is greater, and you call on that grace, which dissolves in an instant, a holy instant of perfect love. The agony of God knows how many lifetimes. You can't do that for yourself, but you can make room for it to be done through you. That's the function of the Divine Spirit. And when you fully are occupied by that Divine Spirit, that soul, that Atma, that pure, original, holy Son and Daughter of God, you'll find that you live in a transfigured world because you begin to see through new eyes. You notice peace where before you noticed discord and conflict. You notice the soul, whereas before you noticed a pattern of behavior that you had condemned. You notice the love in the world that surrounds you, whereas before you felt fearful and insecure. You find that you live in a loving reality where everyone is like your nearest and dearest friend. And you no longer meet strangers. And you no longer feel separated and alone. But you've joined the universal family of souls. And souls see souls. So if you want to know whether you're looking through the eyes of the soul or the eyes of the ego, are you seeing egos? Or are you seeing souls? Because what you are seeing is what you're looking from. And that's probably the biggest key and reference point we have in life. The soul is a team player and a good sport. So get involved in your life, in the arena that your destiny has placed you. And be a good sport. And play the game so it's win-win for everyone. Because then you know you are operating from that transfiguration where the soul and your human personality have become one and the same. And that is what I would wish for all of us, to step deeper into that. As we enter this new year, which is the year of the disciple, we're going to watch people go through more and more of the tests of discipleship. So let us rise up in our own discipleship. And wherever we are, let's model that union of the invisible realm with the earthly realm. And transfigure and transform it into a world of love and cooperative endeavor for all. So I hope this has been helpful for you. It's the role we're all playing. And every single thing we do counts for good. No matter what it is, it will be used for good. So let's go out chanting Anahi. Deep breath. Anahi. Blessings and light and grace to each one of you, and a very, very blessed 2015. I love you. God bless. Adonai.